Well, good morning. It is an exciting day post-Easter. Today, here at Faith, we will be baptizing 18 people between our three services, which is absolutely awesome. And so we want to welcome you. If you are a guest joining us, maybe you're a family member of someone baptized today, we want to welcome you into this great celebration post-Easter time. We also want to welcome those who are joining us in the venue. And so today in our first service, we are going to be baptizing two people that will get to celebrate their story and how God is working and moving in their lives. But we want to encourage you later this week, we're going to post some of the rest of these stories on our Facebook page. Just some incredible ways in which the Spirit of God is bringing new life to so many people in our church that we just want to celebrate along with them this morning. So the question is, what is baptism all about? We're going to be talking about that this morning. And to be able to answer that question, I think back to a time when I was a senior in high school. I got a letter in the mail to be invited to participate in the National Honor Society. Have you heard of this group? All right, so I opened up the letter, and I kind of read about what the National Honor Society was all about. I turned to my sister, who had been part of this group, and said, "So what's the big deal?" And she said, "Well, you go to a breakfast, they give you a pin, and it looks good on a college resume." And so I'm like, I like breakfast. So I went and showed up at the National Honor Society breakfast, and I sat through a presentation that told me how amazing it is to be part of the National Honor Society. I got my pin, I put it on my college applications, and since 2003, I have been part of the National Honor Society. It's been amazing, guys. You know, when we think about this, like, what's the big deal about being a part of the National Honor Society? In some ways, it's kind of easy for us to come into the church world and kind of think the same. Wait, like, what does it even mean to be a Christian? Do you just kind of show up? You get some coffee in the lobby. They give you a presentation about what it means to be a Christian. And maybe if you're lucky, you'll even get a pin, right? But what does it actually mean to be a Christian? Today, we are going to celebrate that, of what it means to be a Christian through baptism. Some people, they start their faith journey by probing, by looking for reasons and answers, and they find faith in God through intellectual knowing. Others start with an experience of God that leaves them looking for words to describe what had happened to them. For me, my faith journey started when I was, believe it or not, 3.5 years old on our split stone fireplace in Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, as I prayed a prayer to accept Jesus into my heart. And from that day forward, I've learned to trust in Jesus, like we just sang about. But all of us come to this morning with a different set of experiences. Maybe some of you didn't grow up in a home where faith was a value. Others of you, you went to church every single week, but there really wasn't a spiritual connection. Others of you, you left home and you grew up realizing that life can be really fun the way that you want to live it. And you pursued that life only to find out that that lifestyle didn't bring you the joy and the fulfillment that you were looking for. And you found your way back to Christ. Others of you, you lived your life in a way knowing that you were a sinner and that you needed the grace of Jesus. So many stories about the ways in which we all experience this thing called faith. And maybe some of you are here today and you're still searching, you're still looking, you're still asking that question, what does it even mean to be a Christian? And why does it even matter? Well, the good news behind that question is what God reveals about his character. And what God reveals about himself is that God is continually trying to reveal himself to humanity. God longs to disclose himself to us. It's quite astounding that the God of the universe desires to be known by human beings and to be known by human beings. And so there's a moment, there might be a season that some of you have experienced this God disclosure, God revealing himself to you in a very personal way. Not just knowing about God, but truly knowing him. J.I. Packard says it this way, a little knowledge of God is worth more than a great deal of knowledge about him. That part of being a Christian is this moment where the Holy Spirit brings illumination to the revelation of who God is. The light is turned on, and this is crazy experiential. There's a softening of the heart as you begin to consider the things that are true about God. You find yourself softening to who God is and his character. Your understanding about him grows in greater depth. There's this faith and there's this trust that there's this mysterious God in the heavens that can become so personal to me. And you might even say, I've had these experiences. I don't know a whole lot about theology. I don't know the Bible front and back, but I know that I was blind and now I can see. I know that I was a sinner and I needed a Savior, and I put my faith and my trust in God, and he revealed his love to me in such a deep and personal way. See, church, this morning, this is what it means to be a Christian, and how the Apostle Paul describes it is he says, to be a Christian is to be united with Christ. That's what a Christian means, is to be united with Christ, not to go to a meeting or get a pin or put something down on your resume, but for your life to be united with his. It's more than just imitating the life and the teachings of Jesus. To be a Christian is the present experience of the risen Christ indwelling by the power of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. And again, theologians call this idea union with Christ. And when we are united with Christ in this way, it changes everything about our lives. A number of years ago, my wife and I took a mini weekend vacation to the city of Chicago. And we wanted to see kind of the different parts of the city. And so we decided to rent bikes to ride our way around the Windy City. Well, it was windy indeed. And so we pulled up to the little area where you could swipe your credit card and you know, take the bikes. And I saw that there was two different bikes that you could choose from. There was the good old-fashioned, you know, pedal yourself bike. And then next to that was the e-bike. And the e-bike was 40 cents more an hour. And I'm like, that's way too steep. I'm going with the regular one, right? And so I jumped on the regular bike. Rachel got the e-bike, and we're starting to make our way around the city. And we go down the boardwalk along Lake Michigan, and then we start coming back into the headwind. And here I am. I'm just pedaling with all of my might just to be able to make it back to our destination. And I look next to me, and there is my wife just sitting there, barely coasting, looking like Mary Poppins, making her way down the boardwalk along Lake Michigan. Just ease. No toil, no heartache. It was just as she goes down the boardwalk. And I think about this illustration of what it means to be a Christian is to be a Christian means to be united with Christ, that his power, his strength, his glory resides in our life in such a way that the Christian walk isn't toil and heartache and strife, but rather the life of Christ is alive in us that carries us along our way. And this is how Paul describes it in 2 Corinthians 5. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone and the new is here. You get what he's saying? When you're in Christ, when you are united with Christ, there's an old way of life that is gone and there is a new life that is here. Now, some of you have experienced that. Hopefully, many of you have experienced that in this room. And so what the church has done, what the Bible shows us, is that this life is a very personal, it's a very inward experience and decision that we're making. But at the same time, God invites us into physical expressions of this inward experience that we've had. And these experiences and these practices help us understand the reality of what God has done in our lives. And so there's two of them that we practice here at Faith. It's baptism and the Lord's Supper. In fact, this is a statement from our statement of beliefs. It says, the Lord Jesus mandates two ordinances, baptism and the Lord's Supper, which visibly and tangibly express the gospel. Though they are not a means of salvation, when celebrated by the church in genuine faith, these ordinances confirm and nourish the believer. Now, you hear this word ordinance, and you might be hearing, well, there God goes again with all of those rules and those regulations that we have to follow. Now, that's not what's going on here. No, these are ordinances. These are ways, stipulations given by God to remind us of what it means to be in Christ. It gives us an experiential opportunity to allow our physical actions to align with our faith and our spirit of what's happening inside of us. And so this morning, as we celebrate baptism, I want to share just three ways that baptism gives us this outward expression of this inward faith. And the first one is that baptism is a sign of the cleansing of sin, okay? This is one of the metaphors of baptism. 1 Peter 3:21, Peter writes, "Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ." And so when you look in the New Testament, you'll find that John the Baptist shows up and he's baptizing people in water for the baptism of repentance. In other words, there was an act of faith involved, a turning of our hearts away from sin and towards God. And so Peter anticipates this surprise, and he says this phrase that some people get tripped up on, that this baptism now saves you, not saying that baptism itself is what saves you, but rather that when you are baptized, you are entrusting this connection to God. You're turning away from this old life, and you're saying in front of your family and your friends and the congregation, my life is now devoted to God. I turn from sin, and now I am pointing my life towards God. It is an invisible condition of the heart that is being expressed in faith. And so again, I oftentimes say about baptism, it is an outward expression of an inward commitment. Just as water washes away dirt, so faith in Christ washes away our sin. But that's just one illustration of what baptism is all about. The second one is that baptism is a sign of being resurrected to new life. Paul writes in Romans 6, he says, "Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." Baptism shows us, it's this expression of union with Christ. Christ bore our sins and died. That part of us, our old life, died with Christ. And as Christ is resurrected to new life, now we share with him in this new life as well. Our lives are now on this e-bike, right? There's no longer this toil and this struggle in order to clean ourselves up for God. But no, we're joined with Christ in this new life with God, dead to our old life of sins. Now we have new affections. There's this new experience of what it means to take in and experience and know the love of God in our heart. We begin to love the things that God loves. We begin to focus on the things that God focuses. Why? Because our lives are joined with Christ. And the last kind of element of baptism is a sign of identifying with the family of faith. Baptism is this outward expression that now our lives carry a brand new identity. Galatians 3 says, "So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ." When we are in Christ, the primary identity of our life changes. Just think about you. It's a common question in our culture today. How do you identify, right? In what way do you identify with yourself? We've been hardwired to take on an identity for ourselves. Some people, they're really good at business, and so they identify themselves as a salesperson. Or maybe your identity is that of being a wife or a mom. But the problem with a lot of these identities that we can give ourselves, in fact, I would argue every identity that the world gives people and that we tend to take on, is that these identities can be taken from us or they'll leave with us. And the problem with this is that there's nothing more terrifying than not knowing who you are. If your whole life is built on being a mom or being a dad and something happens to your children or they walk away from you, they reject you, what are you left with? And there's all kinds of statistics that when people build their identity on either their career or their businesses, that when they retire, that their lives are become so disorienting because they don't know who they are. But when you're in Christ, this is your primary identity. This is the common way that you think about yourself. It's the only identity that you have that will be given to you, that will never be taken from you from now throughout all eternity. Even though I carry many different identities, I'm a pastor. I appreciate, I enjoy that identity. I'm a husband. I love that I get to share this wonderful journey of life with my wife. I'm a father. I get to love on my kids. But all of those identities can and will be taken away from me. But the one that remains is to be united with Christ, to be called a son, to be called daughters of Christ. This is our primary identity that is secure. And when we express baptism, what we are saying is that we identify as children of God. I am His. I am loved by Him. God is pleased with me. And so we see this in baptism as well. And so we're going to jump into our baptisms this morning. And so the way that we practice baptisms here at Faith is that we'll actually give those who are being baptized an opportunity to affirm and confirm their faith. And so this morning, we'll have two in this service, and we'll ask them this question: trusting in the gracious mercy of God, do you turn away from sin and renounce Satan and all the spiritual forces of evil in the world? And then those being baptized will say, I renounce them. And then they will be asked, do you turn to Jesus Christ, accept Him as your Lord and Savior, trusting in His grace and love? And they'll respond, I do. And then the last question will be, will you, as Christ's faithful disciple, obeying His word and showing His love? And the response will be, I will, with God's help. And then we need the participation from all y'all here. And really, baptism isn't just about an individual experience. It's about an opportunity for we as a faith family and congregation to support and to show our love and to affirm the declaration of faith being made. And so right up on the screen behind you is the confirmation and the affirmation that we would love for you as a congregation to affirm with those being baptized. So in a way of practice, could you boldly and loudly and excitedly and faith-filledly share saying this together? So we're going to practice. Here we go. So it's, we receive you into the family of God, live and proclaim the gospel of Christ, and share with us in life everlasting. Yes. That's awesome. Cool. Well, with that, we're going to turn it over to a couple of video testimonies to be able to share kind of some of the stories behind two of the people that are being baptized in this service. Take a look.
I first put my faith in Christ just about 2 years ago in 2023. What really led me to that point was a lifetime up to that point of 36 years of really just hanging on the coattails of the faith of my family. I was raised in the church. As I like to say, I was born in the church, christened at 7 days old. And seeing my dad, you know, preach in the pulpit and minister was just a every week thing for me. But I had some really difficult times, trauma, and that kind of led me into the world on my own terms. and I begin to just make my own choices, decisions. Instead of running to Jesus, I was running from him. And so it took a series of a lot of bad choices and decisions and backsliding for me to get back to the heart of the Father. And 2023 was that for me. And so, you know, that was just a very surreal, real moment for me where I encountered Jesus in a way that I never had before. And just knowing that he loved me in spite of me was what I needed to just be able to put my faith and hope in him. Oh man, the difference that my relationship with Christ has made, it's made all the difference. Before, when I was living in the world and submitting to sin and everything else other than what God wanted me to do, I felt shame, condemnation, guilt. I was riddled with it. It only made me try to become more good by the works of the law, which I failed miserably at. And it just, it's a complete contrast. Now I feel so free. And when I fall short of his glory, still, I just get back up and I give it to the Lord. And then I say, help me, Jesus. And he does. But the shame, the guilt, the condemnation, the accusations does not linger the way that they used to.
This year, I kind of had a lot of drama in my life. A lot of things going on that, like, I wasn't really happy with where I was at, both like professionally and as a person. And I live on a dorm floor, and I'm surrounded by so many people that are like, they live such a good life that I look to them and say, how can I live like that? And they're all Christians. And I have this really good friend, his name is Peter. He goes to this church. And he sat me down one day in late January, and we talked over Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And he said, think about it. Okay, so I thought about it. I'm like, okay. This is what I was missing all along. How I was living beforehand, I was living for the world, and I was not living for anything that means something. You know what I mean? I was chasing a bunch of worldly desires. And I kind of reflected on that. Okay, I'm going to give my life to Jesus Christ. And it was almost, that was in early February, so it's been 2 months since then, and I've noticed such an immense difference in the way I lived before, the way I live now,